This is a Sports Psychology Hour with Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
I cannot express the gratitude what my son came and visited you.
Dr. Jacobs has been in practice for 43 years as a sports psychologist.
I have seen a change in youth sports in the last 10, 15 years. I've talked about it a lot on this show.
The Sports Psychology Hour, the best advice on the radio each and every week.
Failure and losing and screwing up is something that happens in life. It happens in sports. And I think we have to teach kids how to do that more effectively.
This is where sports talk gets real.
That word, playing, it's gone from our society in a lot of ways with kids.
And now, here's your host, rated as one of the best therapists in Kansas City by OnlineTherapy.com, Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hope you enjoying your morning. It's a little cloudy and rainy outside here today, but hopefully the weather will clear up. We'll have a nice spring day here this morning, and look forward to doing the show with you as we do every Sunday morning. You know, our shows are podcasted everywhere. Our show is live here in Kansas City Sunday mornings from 7 to 8 and podcast on all the major apps. I've got close to 10 years of podcasts on my website and on a number of the podcast apps talking about sports psychology, and I delve into issues on this show that touch on all kinds of things like sportsmanship, which we're going to talk about today, winning and losing, attitudes, coaches, relationships, communication skills, or lack thereof by coaches sometimes with athletes, how we succeed, how we fail, how we accomplish our goals, how do you get mentally prepared? What about confidence, you know, the foundation of everything? How do you handle your self-confidence? Is it something that is ingrained in you, something you learn, something you acquire? How does that happen? What kind of attitude do you have? I talk about positive, realistic attitudes, but also dealing with negative attitudes. I've been in practice for 43 years, been on the radio for 33 years, my last 23 years here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I love doing this show with you each week as we talk about these topics and get some calls in here and get a discussion going. Today I wanted to get into the topic of sportsmanship. I've had a number of clients in the last few weeks where this has come up in our discussions about fairness, about being treated fairly. I have several collegiate baseball players I'm working with, who, a couple of whom have brought up the whole issue of, you know, is their coach treating them fairly? Is the communication what it was when they got recruited? And do they feel that they're being treated the right way? And the topic of sportsmanship comes up. You know, when you look up the definition of sportsmanship, it's pretty clear what it is. Conduct such as fairness, respect for one's opponent, and graciousness in winning or losing, becoming to one's participating in a sport. You know, that's a great example of it. Fairness. Conduct such as fairness. Behavior in a sport that is fair shows respect to the other players. Okay. Respect. Something that's obviously a problem in our society today. You know, there's so much, such a lack of respect amongst people, and I'm so tired of all the political angst that goes on and the name calling and the accusations that go on. So it carries over in everything we do and in sports as well. So what is sportsmanship? How is it displayed? How is it handled if there's a lack of it? I'd like to find out if you're a coach. We're going to open up our phone lines early today. If you're a coach, I'd like to hear from you about how you discuss sportsmanship with your team. How do you describe it? Do you even talk about it? Some coaches, I know, blow it off, and a lot of people emphasize it a lot. What does being a good sport mean? What does being a good coach mean? How do you display good sportsmanship? What's an example of bad sportsmanship? And if you've seen poor sportsmanship going on, if you're a coach, let's say your team's out there and the other team's displaying poor sportsmanship, what do you do? Do you say anything? Do you do anything? Do you try to handle it? Do you ignore it? Our phone number, as always, is 913-3810-810. I know we're just getting started this morning. It's Sunday morning, but I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach and get your thoughts on this, on what do you feel good, proper sportsmanship is. I was at the Kansas City Current game yesterday. By the way, are 3-0 and playing great. I'm the team sports psychologist with them, and I'll tell you what, it's an exciting team. Sold out the stadium, second home game in this brand new stadium, beautiful stadium. And I saw an example of great sportsmanship yesterday where a player on the Angel City team was down, and one of our players offered her a hand up to help her get back up. You know, a lot of times you don't see that, but I saw it yesterday. That's good sportsmanship. It doesn't mean you have to, kiss everybody's butt on the other team, but it means you show some respect. See, to me, sportsmanship and respect go hand in hand. So I'd like to hear from you, if you're a coach, how do you explain sportsmanship to your team? Do you even talk about it? Do you see it as a priority in what you do? And what do you do when there's a lack of sportsmanship on the team you're playing? How do you handle that? What do you do about that? You know, there's an example I'll give. Several years ago, a good friend of mine in New York called me and told me about something that happened. And his son was 12 at the time, playing soccer, playing a game in the Bronx. His team was from White Plains, just a suburb of New York City, essentially. And there's a player on the other team that was overly aggressive and kept knocking kids on his team down and hit a couple kids on his team. And he called a timeout, went to the officials. The officials said something to the other team. The game ends, and in the handshake line, and these are 12-year-old kids, I'll remind you, the handshake line, they're walking through, and this individual's name's Matt, was at the end of the line, and three kids in front of him, this young man on the other team who was overly aggressive, decked one of the kids on his team, just threw a sucker punch and knocked him down. Which point Matt then grabbed this kid who threw the punch and grabbed him, and the kid was fighting him. And within, according to Matt, 5 seconds, he then gets knocked down by an adult who happened to be the father of this kid, who starts punching him in the face. He then gets pulled off. This individual who's punching Matt gets pulled off by other dads. There are a lot of words. Matt's got a bloody nose. And this individual who's the dad of this kid says, "You grab my kid, how dare you do that? I'm going to beat the blank out of you," as he's being held back. Well, it ends up, he's a policeman. This is next to the police station they were playing. Three policemen jumped over the fence and then grabbed this guy. And so the ensuing yelling slowed down, stopped down. And Matt said, "Look, this kid who's your son punched the kid on our team in the line." And this dad says, "I didn't see that." He goes, "Well, I did. Look at the kid." And the kid that he punched had a bloody nose as well. Which point then this dad then backed down, somewhat apologized. You know, things calmed down. And which point Matt said to him, "Look, you know, throughout the game, your son's been throwing punches, knocking kids down." He goes and he threw another one. "Your kid needs some help." Which point this dad then got all huffy and stormed off with his kid. Okay? So what lesson did that give the kids who were there? Matt told me at the practice, you know, he said, "I could have filed charges. I wasn't going to do that. I didn't want to mess with that." But they had a meeting after the game with the kids to talk about what happened. And then at their next practice, they sat down and talked about it. And several parents were there, and they all discussed it. The parents and the kids talked about sportsmanship. You know, we're out here playing a game. And yes, it gets intense, and you're pushing yourself. But there's also a point where you don't go over the edge. And this young man on the other team went over the edge. They then had some discussions with the league officials about it, which point apparently that dad was now told if he ever did anything like that again, he would be kicked out of the league as long as his son. You know, unfortunately, stuff like this happens a lot. You know, every week I read something or hear something somewhere about a team where, and usually it's the parents, not always the kids, but usually the parents will do something that's cheating, that's going over the edge. I've shared many times on the show, Jeff Montgomery, who co-authored my book, Just Let Him Play, Guiding Parents, Coaches, and Athletes Through Youth Sports, with Pete Malone, Hall of Fame swim coach. Jeff, who's the Royals' all-time closer in terms of number of saves, great guy, was coaching my son Jonathan's team, and we're playing an all-star team of other kids. And Joe Carter, son was on the team. Joe's a great baseball player, played for the Blue Jays for many years, hit the game-winning home run in the 93 World Series. Joe's been on the show before. Joe was sitting next to me. And we're watching the game, and we're playing this team of all-star kids who are like 10 times better than our kids. So this one young man comes up, gets a hit, got a double, and he ends up scoring. And then two batters later, Joe says to me, Andy, the kid that's cut now, he was just up three batters ago. He's the guy that got the double. And I looked and I said, you're right. So Joe went down to Jeff Montgomery, told him, and Jeff said, I thought so. Jeff calls time, goes out to the umpire. They then bring the coach over, and the other team, yeah. I want to score more runs, so I had him bat again. It's like, well, you can't do that. And the umpire kicked the coach out of the game. The coach was not happy. He said, you need to leave. So what did he do? He sat behind the fence and kept coaching the team. So what lesson did that young man who batted twice learn? Well, I can cheat, and it's okay. Because I'm sure that coach didn't say to his team, hey, that's bad. So this stuff goes on quite a bit. So if you're a coach, I'd like to hear from you once again, and you've encountered something like this. First, how do you handle it when a lack of sportsmanship exists in a competition when you're coaching? What do you do when you see something that is lacking right behavior? If it's on your team, what do you do? If it's on the other team, what do you do? And what do you say to the kids you're coaching? All right, 913-3810-810 is our number. I'd like to hear from you. If you're an athlete and you've had to deal with this before, there's cheating going on, there's poor behavior going on with the other team you're playing against, what do you do? You know, a lot of people are scared to speak up because they're afraid if they say something, they'll end up in a fight. They'll end up in some kind of an argument. So a lot of people just sit on their hands and don't say anything. I think there's a proper time to say things, a proper time not to. So Tristan, my producer, so jump in here. You tell me, you played all these sports, okay. I'm sure you saw some examples of bad sportsmanship during your playing career, which is not over, we'll mention. Now it's more for fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say more often than not when I would see cases of poor sportsmanship, growing up, my parents always used to call me the rule god because anytime somebody was breaking the rules or anything along those lines, I'd always be the first one to stand up and go, hey, wait, we can't stand up and get in line for the bathroom yet, teacher, because it hasn't hit this time on the clock or something along those lines. So I was very much a rule follower.
You did that? Boy, there are probably a lot of kids that didn't like you for that.
A lot of kids that didn't like me. I've grown out of that a little bit, thankfully. So, but when I was a kid and I was playing sports in the recreational system, I used to go, hey, coach, like that kid probably shouldn't be. I would have been the kid that would have stood up to the coach and been like, hey, that kid already bat in that story that you told involving the kid who bat twice against your kid's team. I would have probably been the first person off the bench to go, hey, coach, their kid already bat twice. And at the end of the day, as I grew through and I understood certain social situations and awareness that, you know, maybe the 15-year-old left fielder probably shouldn't be the one who's pointing that out to the coach. I'll let the adults handle that. I sort of let that slip by a little bit more. But when it comes to decking a kid in the face in the line, as you're saying, good game, I would have been one of the first ones to grab that kid too, and not throw a punch back.
Grab which kid? The kid that hit him, or
threw the punch? Okay. To just restrain, not to further the altercation. So I'm very much a proponent of structures there for a reason.
So why, as someone who's played sports as I have my whole life, why do you think that happens? Why do people lose it at a sporting event, especially? Because you hear it all the time. Why do you think adults lose it and get out of control, and whether it's the coaches or the parents in the stands? Why do you think that happens?
I think it's probably a case of living vicariously through their kid and wanting their kid to succeed further than they were able to. And so adding an additional amount of competitive edge that probably doesn't need to be there in a children's sport. Because they see it as the big leagues. It's their opportunity to be under the Friday night lights.
I've been fortunate enough to work with, in the 80s, I was the team psychologist for U.S. Cycling. And we were in the Olympics in 84, won 9 medals, hadn't won any in 72 years. I've been the team psychologist for the Royals twice. I was KU's first sports psychologist. I'm with the Current now. I worked back in the 80s, Kansas City Comets. I've worked with athletes across the board. With so many different athletes, so many different sports, so many different teams. And this is a topic that always comes up. Because what I'm finding, and more so now than ever, is this need to win, this need to be better than the other team, beat the other team. It gets to the point where it sometimes gets out of the control. You know, here we are in Kansas City where we've had the Super Bowl champion the last 2 years, 3 years in the last, you know, five. And it's, if you listen to the show, you know, I've been going to Chiefs games forever. I work with several Chiefs players privately. I was fortunate enough to go to these three Super Bowls we won. I went to the very first Super Bowl in 1967 that we lost. I mean, I love sports. I love watching it. I love participating in it. Although as I'm getting older, my body is falling apart in different places. I'll be 70 years old this year, and it's amazing how your body starts to fall apart when you played sports your whole life. But anyway, I've seen so much. I've seen examples of tremendously positive sportsmanship exhibited, and I've seen so many examples of this negative stuff. And I think it comes back to this issue, need and desire to have to win, to come in first place, to beat everybody. And in our book, one of our first chapters is entitled "Embracing Failure Can Lead to Fun." You know, if I asked 10 professional athletes the question, "What's your opinion about failing?" they would probably all say, "Failing sucks. Losing sucks. It's no fun. It sucks. It's terrible." Okay, but they would also then say, "But it happens." You know. It happens because that's sport. You're not always going to win. Now, do you have to cheat to win? If you have to cheat to win, that brings out all kinds of other things. All right, our phone number here is 913-3810-810. I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach. I'd love to hear from you if you're a parent. Well, you're an athlete. I'd love to hear from an official. If you're a referee, an umpire, an official, you have to deal with this stuff all the time. You've got to deal with sportsmanship issues. You've got to deal with athletes who don't speak clearly, who cheat, to coaches who do, and you're the one who has to confront it. So I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach and get your opinion on this as well. If you're an official, get your opinion on this as well. This is a topic that comes up all the time with youth sports. You know, we see almost weekly now a story somewhere about a fight at a youth sports game or parents getting out of control, you know, because someone got angry about something. or we're going to go to first break here this morning. I'd love to get some calls in here and get your thoughts on this. If you're an official and there's poor sportsmanship going on at a game you're working at, how do you handle it? Do you try to ignore it? You try to just not hear it? Do you get confrontational with the people who are displaying it? What do you do? If you're a parent and bad sportsmanship's going on, how do you talk to your son or daughter about it? What do you say to them about it? If you're a coach, like I said, I'd love to hear from you. If you've experienced poor sportsmanship at a game you're coaching, how do you talk to your team about that? How do you handle that? All right, our phone number is 913-3810-810, 913-3810-810. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Give me a call and let's talk. We're on Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Eric Clapton and Layla, that's a great song. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm here every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. talking about the mental side of sports. And today's topic, which I have brought up, is sportsmanship. What is sportsmanship? What's an example of good sportsmanship? What's an example of bad sportsmanship? No one's called in yet. I'd love to hear from you. I want to hear from you. If you have been at a game, it could be your son's daughter's game, it could be a friend's game, whatever, and you've seen a great example of sportsmanship displayed by somebody. I'd like to hear what that was. Want to hear what they did, why they did it, and what you saw the result of that being. At the same time, I'd love to hear the other side, which is if you've experienced some poor sportsmanship before, because we all see it. It happens so often, as I've said. And, you know, I talk a lot about youth sports on this show because it's one of my passions. Kids playing sports, having fun, learning skills, learning about winning and losing, success, failure, all this type of stuff. And one of the things I've noticed is that sportsmanship is not always emphasized enough. Why? Because winning and losing ends up being the priority. So if you're an official, a coach, an athlete, a parent, I'd love to hear from you. Once again, 913-3810-810 is our number. No one's called in yet. It's early on Sunday, but I'd love to hear from you. I'll get your opinion on this because, like I've said, I shared some examples of some pretty bad sportsmanship that I've seen, and there are tons of other examples I could share as well that I've seen in all the years I've been doing this, 43 years working as a sports psychologist, but you know, playing sports my whole life. The need to win, the emphasis to have to win, to want to win, to have to beat everybody. Some people will do anything it takes to do that, just because they've got to win. You know, what's good sportsmanship? What is an example of good sportsmanship? I think it's about being fair, honest, and being a good communicator. It's about sharing. It's about admitting when you've made a mistake, when you screwed up, hey, you know what, we were wrong. I've seen so many coaches that I've associated with throughout my career who will admit when they screwed up and apologize to their team, apologize to the kids that they're coaching. I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong. And to me, that takes a lot of guts to sit there as a coach and say, you know what, I screwed up and I apologize. Guys, I shouldn't have done that. My outburst was wrong. You know, I yelled at the umpire. I shouldn't have done that, because when the coach does that, what's that tell the kids? Well, they can do it too. And that's where things sometimes get out of control. All right, Tristan, let me ask you this. Give us an example of maybe the worst scenario of sportsmanship maybe you saw playing sports growing up that you can remember.
Yeah, so there are examples of cheating, and then there are examples of forgetting the human element that underlines sport. And I would say that the latter is the more egregious break of the sportsmanship bond that we as athletes and coaches and spectators of sport can break.
The human element.
Okay. The human element.
There you go.
And
tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah. So a more broad version that I think many NFL fans can relate to, and then I can talk about one from my past, but the DeMar Hamlin situation. When he went down on that football field and hearts dropped across the country, if you were watching that game live or if you found out about it through social media or some other avenue, I think the vast majority of humans in this country went, oh no, that man, is he okay? There was a small section of people who lost the human element and went, ooh, one of the Buffalo Bills' best players is down and he's gone for the game.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
That's poor sportsmanship, obviously, and to me, that's losing the human element. I wasn't even thinking about the game. I wasn't thinking about anything beyond, is he okay? Is he alive? And further than that, what is his road to come back look like? Can he ever come back?
Well, Buffalo's former center, now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Mitch Morris, who has worked with me for several years, has been on the show several times, is going to come on again later this spring. Talked with me quite a bit about that because he was quite a central figure with the Bills. And Mitch is a great leader, a great human being, a great football player, but he's a better person than he is a football player. And he talked about the locker room and how they dealt with that. And he said, and the Bengals players were just as considerate and caring as the Bills players were. And yeah, that's I forgot about that when you brought that up, but no greater example of that. I mean, the game was canceled and rightfully so. Now that affected thousands and thousands of people. It affected all kinds of money all over the place, but it was a situation where a player died on the field, was brought back, and the players couldn't finish that up. Now, along the lines of that, let's bring this up, and I want to see if anybody's going to call about this. So can we talk about good sportsmanship, fair sportsmanship? The Chiefs played Miami. I was at the game in the playoffs. It was bitterly cold. My son and I, when Jonathan and I walked to my car after the game, I've never experienced cold like that because we're about a 15 to 20 minute walk to our car in about 35 mile below zero wind chills. And all I know is when I got to the car, I couldn't feel anything below my knees, basically. We had to sit in the car with the heater on for about 10 minutes before we could leave. It was so cold. There have been reports of all these people who suffered hypothermia. A lot of people have had amputations of their fingers. Why they weren't wearing gloves is beyond me. Okay, so I've had a bunch of people say to me, Doc, do you think that was fair that the NFL played that game? You know, so when you talk about sportsmanship, there's a good example. Should the NFL play games when it's that cold? Is that an example of good sportsmanship, or is that an example of the money? Obviously, the money plays a big role with that. You know, I'm not saying one way or the other. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm going to go. Now, of course, if it's to the point where it's unsafe, I'm not going to be out there. My son and I went up inside at the end of each quarter, and at halftime went in the team store and warmed up. You know, we were fine. We were dressed appropriately. But I know there are a lot of people that weren't. So when you talk about sportsmanship, was the money, because it's the playoffs and everything, more important for the NFL? That's a question that's been brought up by a number of people. So when you talk about what is good sportsmanship, I think an even playing field, an equal playing field for everybody, usually makes that situation, you know, okay. But sometimes that's not going to be out there like that. So I know a number of people have asked me, do you think that game should have been played? And I'm like, well, the NFL decided it was okay to do it. The players were okay. Obviously, as a fan, you know, that's the thing. There are athletic events. Today's Easter. There are athletic events today. There are athletic events on Mother's Day, Christmas. The NFL just announced they're going to have two football games on Christmas Day this year. Christmas Day is on a Wednesday. I don't think there's ever been an NFL game on a Wednesday before. All right. So, you know, if it's a holiday, there's a game. There's some kind of a game. You know, Christmas Day has been very famous for the NBA playing, you know, highlighted games on that. So when you talk about sportsmanship, fairness, you know, that sort of goes off in a little bit different direction. But you got to look at that. I know a number of people have brought up the issue of where is the point where is it fair to have a game when it's that cold outside? What do you think about that?
As an athlete, I always used to get more excited for those games that were in the snow, in the pouring, pouring rain, where the quality of the sport will suffer a bit, but it's something different as an athlete, and it's a different element to play in. It's something else to add to the layer of competition, to the layer of joy that we get from sport. So personally, I am all for playing in them. Now, I think if there's a foot of snow on a football field or any field, it probably shouldn't be played, especially if you can't. If it's coming down faster than you can shovel it or snow blow it off the field, don't play that game.
Well, there was just an MLS game earlier this as the season started that I believe played in Salt Lake, and I think it was the Galaxy were playing there. The LA Galaxy were playing there, and it was snowing heavily. And, you know, the LA team obviously doesn't play in the snow. They lost, and their coach was very adamant about it wasn't fair that they had to play in that situation.
Yeah, the LAFC coach came out and he may have
LAFC,
been fined.
Not the Galaxy. Okay.
He may have been fined for his comments. I believe he was. But it did push a point where it's same thing as the an U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, their match in the Women's Gold Cup that happened just recently in San Diego at Snapdragon Stadium. It was raining so badly that the ball would get waterlogged. You kick it and it wouldn't move. And then it becomes a point of, forget the elements affecting the run of play, the sportsmanship side of things, where is it ethical to have them play this sport for their own health as a sportsmanship viewpoint?
And that's where the argument will be brought up that money rules. You know, it's about the money. You know, there's all this money invested in the game and people coming out and all this, they're going to play. And then the athletes are the ones who end up suffering. You know, because they have to do it. Now, I know, having worked with so many professional athletes, Olympians, I'm working with several Olympian potential, athletes who are going to be trying out for their Olympic teams. One woman I'm working with right now is a former gold medalist in her event. Okay, and we've talked about, in fact, she and I were talking about the elements. She's track and field when she's out there. Where does it become an unequal playing field for everybody? And she says, you know, there are points where they have to cancel things. They have to cancel meets because the elements are too dangerous. And she says that fairness part has to come into it because of the safety issues. So when you talk about sportsmanship, I think it carries over into this area as well. And that's where the whole issue of money plays such a big role in sports. And so, you know, I've had when my sons were younger, I recall very vividly, they both had soccer games up in Topeka on Mother's Day, and we had to be up there at 6 a.m. I remember we left here at 4:45 a.m. to drive up there, and my ex-wife, we were married at the time, was not happy about it at all, but we went. And what they did was, because it was Mother's Day, they gave they had all the players give a rose to their moms. They thought that was a great symbol of, you know. And I know that she, as well as a bunch of other moms on our team, were like, I don't care about the damn rose. It's 6 a.m. on Mother's Day. Why are we here? Okay. So I think the whole fairness issue comes up. You know, when you talk about sportsmanship, it carries over into these other areas where, you know, having fun, playing respectfully and all that, but where does that come in for the fans and the parents and everybody else? I think that's an issue that a lot of people sometimes don't really look into, but it is. All right, our phone number here is 913-3810-810. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My topic today is sportsmanship. Like I said, no one's called in yet. I'd like to hear from you. If you have an example of great sportsmanship that you've experienced or seen or participated in, at an athletic event, and I don't care what level it's at, youth sports, high school, collegiate, professional, your own weekend warrior type of thing, I'd like to hear what that is. what was it and why did it happen? And at the same time, if you've seen some poor sportsmanship out there, and I know we've all seen it, what was it about? Why would that be? Why do people lose it at games? Because winning becomes the issue. All right, 913-3810-810 is our number. Give me a call. Let's talk. We're on Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Overland Park, Kansas, suburb of Kansas City. I'm here every Sunday morning. And today's topic is sportsmanship. What's it about? Have you seen good examples, bad examples? Brought up several different topics we can get into. We've got a couple callers online. Let's go first to Andy. Andy, good morning. Great name. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
So I coached junior high basketball in Oskaloosa, Kansas. And we have a young man with special needs on our team. And we were playing against Jackson Heights. And during a timeout, the head coach from Jackson Heights came over to me and said, "Coach, put 45 in. This is my young man with special needs." I just kind of looked at him and said, "This is weird. You're in my timeout. What are you doing over here?" He says, "Coach, put 45 in. I got a plan." So I put my young man in, and they made it to where he was able to get the ball and not only shoot the ball, but also get an offensive rebound and get a putback.
Wow.
It was all them.
Wow.
I had nothing to do with it. It was amazing. And after the game, I made sure to go up to the coaching staff and to the fans from Jackson Heights and tell the parents, you know, what amazing thing that their coach and their kids did for my young athlete.
How did that come about? I mean, how did he know that young man was on your team, and why did he emphasize doing that?
Well, I had a young man in the game, you know, previously.
Okay.
And it's very apparent that that this young guy, you know, has some disabilities. And he just came up with the idea. And I've coached against Jeremy for 7 years, so we have a good relationship. And he just came up with it. I don't know how or why, but he came up to me and says, "Hey, I'm going to do this." And so it happened. It was really cool.
How did the kids react to that?
Oh, the kids are excited. They're pumped because this young man has worked so hard at 7th and 8th grader, and he's come, you know, just leaps and bounds with his abilities. The kids love him. Our parents were sitting right there, you know, in the stands right behind our bench, and they are just overwhelmed with joy getting to see this young guy to have this opportunity and score and be successful. So it's cool. It was really cool. It showed my kids, you know, what it means to be a good sport. It showed our parents, you know, what other communities do to support young athletes. And so it was a great, great moment for everybody.
That's awesome. Now, how old is this young man?
He's an eighth grader. So I put him at 12, 13 years old.
Well,
14, somewhere there.
Andy, that's why I do this show, to hear stuff like that. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
Well, and that's why I coach. You know, it's for moments like that to, you know, teach young people what sports truly are. You know, I played at a high level. I played professionally overseas, and me being able to teach moments like that, be part of those moments, that's really why I'm involved in sports. It's why I've been doing it my entire life.
Well, first, I want to thank you for sharing that story with us. Second, I want to thank you for what you've done for that young man. So even though the other guy encouraged you to put him in, you did, and you let him be on the team. You could have said, "Hey, we don't want you on this team. You're not good enough." But the fact that you allowed him to be on the team and coached him and all that says a lot about you as well.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the show. I love listening to you on Sunday mornings as I go into work in my classroom. So.
Well, thank you, sir.
Part of my weekly routine. All right. You have a great Easter.
Okay. You take care. Thank you as well. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go next. That was a great call. Let's go next to Jim. Jim, good morning. Dr. Jacobs, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Happy Easter.
Yeah, that's a hard call to follow up, sir, right there.
That's a hard call to follow up, I'll admit. I can't offer a different story. It's not as touching, perhaps, but I was on the sidelines of my son's high school football game, and there was a great catch and a great tackle right there on the sideline. And maybe I'm patting him back too hard, but, you know, I congratulated the receiver and likewise the defensive back that made the tackle. I was like, that, you guys, that was a beautiful play. And it wasn't, they don't even know who I was cheering for because I was congratulating both players because it was such a good sportsman play. And it was impressive, and I loved it. And it's things like that. Yeah, and I've got four kids, and they've all gone through sports. They've done organized soccer, football, volleyball, swimming, and it's just, you know, the sportsmanship, I think, really is important at that age. When the kids get a little bit older, they get a little bit more aggressive, and they want to, you know, they want to stick to their team. But when that play happened on the sideline, I was like, hey, that was a heck of a catch, and that was a heck of a tackle, you know. And nobody knew who I was cheering for. I was cheering for the players, not the teams.
What were you doing on the sideline?
Being a dad.
Okay. So you're just down there as a dad. Okay. And were either of those your sons?
No.
Okay. Well, good for you. how did they react to that?
It was fine. I mean, like I said, nobody knew why I was down there. I mean, I went to Blue Valley High School and I graduated in 1990. And so it gives me the liberty to walk onto the field anytime, anywhere. The coaches know me, everybody except for the opposing team. And it was just a bang bang play. And I was like, great catch. And that was a heck of a tackle. You know, you know, good job, boys. And you know, there was no bad reaction or nothing, but
well, that's it. But that's what it's supposed to be about, right? It's about just the competition, going out there and giving it your best effort, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, yes, we play sports because we want to win. I don't know anyone. Well, let me rephrase. I do know some people who've gone out and wanted to lose. But go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said not unless you're playing for, you know, the draft positions.
Right. I think most people like to go out and play for the experience. And whether, you know, hopefully it's going to come out well. But I know, to me, I mean, my definition of winning, Jim, is did you go out and do the best you could today?
Yeah.
I mean,
and my son's a junior at Blue Valley High School. He's a D-back in football. He does track to, you know, build his strength in football. It's all about football for him. And you know, he's a chiseled young man, but the God didn't grant him with height. So D-back is perfect position for him. And, you know, he wasn't in on the play I'm talking about, but it was one of the most remarkable young sporting events, experiences that I had. And I thought I'd call and share it with you.
Well, thank you so much. No, thank you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I didn't know how many people are listening this morning on Easter Sunday, if they're not either going to church, at church, or, you know, starting their brunch. But it's a moment in my mind that stands out, and I wanted to share it.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And our show's, yeah, it's a holiday. A lot of times holidays, when I do this show early in the morning, a lot of people aren't listening as much as normal, but our shows are podcasted everywhere. So I will promise you a lot of people are going to hear your story, because my show's podcasted all over the place, and I get a lot of feedback on that. So, Jim, thank you for sharing that, and good luck to your son. And thanks for letting us see.
I appreciate
your story.
It. Happy Easter, all you all.
Take care of yourself. Appreciate it. All right, that frees up our lines here at 913-3810-810. That's why I do the show, those two calls right there. And especially the first one from Andy, the coach, who let I mean, the coach and the opposing team, the coach and the opposing team came over to him and said, hey, put that young man in, the young man who's got some disabilities in. Let him play. That's awesome. That's why I talk about this stuff on here, because this stuff does happen a lot. It happens all over the place. And I talk about it on here because people need to hear about this. You know, I do this show, and let's face it, this is a different type of sports show. It's not your typical call-in show that's on during the week. I try to bring up topics on this show every week that I think are going to be of value to you. If you're an athlete, you're a coach, you're a fan, you're an official. You know, officials, referees, umpires, they get dissed all the time. You know, they get dumped on all the time. You don't know, you know, if they do their job, you don't even know they're there. But if there's a play that's controversial and you don't like the way it came out, boy, those people, they get abused. I'm going to have an official on here in the next few weeks talk about this stuff before, because these guys bust, and men and women bust their butts to go out there and do a great job. And really, they're not really appreciated as much as they probably should be, because it's not easy. You know, we've talked about in the NFL, I think officials should be full-time employees, not part-time. And, you know, that's one of the things that goes on with the NFL is the criticism that umpires or officials will get, officials will get if it's a controversial play at the end of the game that determines the outcome of the game. And sportsmanship's a big piece of this puzzle. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Have a great holiday. You know, I talk about different topics on this show each week. I'd love to hear if you have a topic you'd like me to bring up. You can get a hold of me several ways. My office number is 816-561-5556. I am taking on new clients. I do, for those of you who listen on the podcast, I do a lot of FaceTime calls with people all over the country. Feel free to give me a call there, 816-561-5556. You can check out my website, which is winnersunlimited.com. You can send me an email at drj@winnersunlimited.com. I've got all kinds of stuff on my website, my podcasts. I've got close to 10 years of them on my website. Just click on the podcast tab or go on any of the podcast apps. Have a great holiday. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you next week here on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB.